All right. Now, I know some of you are going to have a hard time with this, but you're not to turn this paper over, okay? You are, as the question says, as it says here, are you blessed? It kind of goes with the theme on the shirt. Only look at the are you blessed side, okay? Can you handle it? All right. And I got to go find my... How many of us think we licked something and it's like, oh man, oh, like you think you've overcome some remarkable character flaw, you know, that this is your character flaw and you think you've gone over, you're on the other side of that character flaw, only to find out that it didn't exactly work out the way you thought it should. But I appreciate, so Peter's saying, what I heard him say is, God is giving him patience, not fretting, being able to change your mental outlook. You consider that part of God's blessing on you. All right. How do we know? I'm going to go to the next question. How do we know if we are blessed? What would you say is a mark of blessing in your life? Sure. I like the song, and I think that's one of the questions. I'm not sure if I put it in there. Oh, it is number four, but maybe we'll wait to that. But sometimes I think counting your blessings, looking back and saying, wow, you know, you kind of have that timeline effect in your brain that says essentially that decision or that circumstance or that person seems to have been brought into my life then, and then the subsequent building effects of that. I think that's a possibility that it's good for us to recount our blessings. Anybody, Steve mentioned Christ. I would agree with that. You'll see where I'm going with that on the other side. Don't turn there yet. Is this hard for you not to turn that paper over? It can be challenging. Anybody else want to think about that? How do you know if you're blessed? How do we know? Fulfillment, okay. I expect this to be a little...
You know what I mean? In other words, it's
this, I expect this to be a little hard. Because I think for us to quantify things, and there is a goal with these questions that are, I think, connected to a proper look at blessing. And I want to make sure that we get there. And sometimes we might... And I've heard... And I'm wearing the shirt. I'm blessed. I almost bought the shirt. I am a blessing, but I figured that would be wrong. Okay. That was a joke. They didn't have that shirt that night. Chris, Steve, myself, anybody else here? We went up to hear my son Aaron. Jake was there. I'm sorry, Jake. Jake was there. We went up to see Dave Ring. And anybody know David Ring, the name David Ring? Anybody know the name David Ring besides the guys that saw David Ring two Friday nights ago? David Ring is a man who was born with cerebral palsy. His mother went into complications in labor. They set David aside, extracted him from the womb, and let him go without oxygen for about 18 minutes. So David's now 65 years old, and he has every visible marking of a man that has cerebral palsy. which is brain damage, brain injury, that affects every one of his fine motor skills, his coordination, the way he walks, the way he speaks. Friday night, whatever the date was, September 13th or 14th, a couple Friday nights ago, we went up and I got the T-shirt. Aaron got the T-shirt. My son Aaron has cerebral palsy. So, and a year ago, David Ring was supposed to be at Men's Night Out and was sick and couldn't. And a year later, they were able to bring him back in. David has all the signs that he, circumstantially, physically, that he's not blessed. He says it takes him 45 minutes to button a shirt. If he wears a tie, he considers this to be a curse, but he wore a tie that night. He's never changed a diaper because that's a disaster. David has gone on to have, I believe, four adult children now, around 37 down to 33. He's got five grandchildren. Things that he was told he should be dead by in his mid-30s, he's doubled that, and he talks about his life being a blessing. So sometimes you and I look at, we might think of like Johnny Erickson Tata, and sometimes if you ever hear her radio broadcast, you'll hear Johnny's voice talking about the hymns that she loves to sing and the joy of the Lord, and she still finds herself at times complaining before the Lord, or somebody inconvenienced her, or she had to get to a meeting, and she's very vocal about her internal struggle as a woman of God, and yet she's not lost her joy in the Lord. So circumstances, and that's question three, is blessing always related or connected to circumstances or prosperity? I love the fact that Benny Hinn has recently come out and repented of such horrific teaching, that he's now going on record saying, I was wrong. He has publicly admitted he was wrong in his teaching, because a lot of times the prosperity gospel is always linked to, if you just have enough faith, you will have enough blessing in your life.
It takes a man to admit he's wrong. Really,
you know what?
I'm happy you said that, because you did a lot of
you can do some of the research on his public, what he acknowledged publicly. Matter of fact, on YouTube, if you get to see it, it's called The American Gospel. You might want to write that down. Did we watch it here?
Yeah,
we watched it here, right? There's a 2 hour and 15 minute version of that in a full length movie, but the 45 minute YouTube version is enough to get you kind of keyed into the prosperity gospel. In other aspects of modern Christian accepted teaching out there, that is, it has error in it. And so anyway, the American Gospel movie has Benny Hinn's nephew, who has publicly come out and said, I've distanced myself from this teaching. And this guy sounds like he's quite solid and strong, so I do praise God for that. So is blessing always related or connected to circumstances or prosperity? Definitely not. Can you think of some scriptural examples? Romans 8:28. Okay, how about a character in Scripture?
Samson.
Joseph. Joseph, okay.
Samson.
Samson? Well, how do you... What's up with Samson?
He was blessed with all kinds of strength and knowledge of God, but then he fell away from that. And then in the last moments, he asked God for one last chance, and God gave it to him. So he was blessed. It wasn't circumstances. It was his... me, it was his acknowledgement of his weakness as being human.
Another way of putting that, it's never too late. It's never too late.
Character in the Bible that God didn't show us had to go through that struggle.
We all kind of look at our own timeline. Yeah, we're all looking at our own timeline selfishly.
Yeah.
You know,
So in 2005, my wife was diagnosed with a very serious leukemia. Every indication is this disease could likely take her life. The proof was just she couldn't get it into remission. They'd not get it in remission. Only weeks or months later, it was back. And then 2 years later, Beth goes through a bone marrow transplant, and here we are, 2007-19. So 12 years since the transplant. Yesterday, she's got 25 women in this room. So you guys, get some guys here. We don't want to fall behind, okay? Steve, I mean, he's certainly blessed. But I'm thinking of, well, go ahead, Rick, elaborate. You elaborate on that. Stoned to death. What did he breathe? What was one of his final words that he breathed? Sounds a lot like Jesus, huh? So he has spiritual perspective in the midst of suffering.
My point, though, is sometimes you don't see it well.
Right.
So I think some would look at Steve and say, that doesn't look like a blessing I want.
Right. I just want to read you a verse from Job. I'm getting used to wearing these now. My eyes aren't as blessed as they used to be. Thank you. So Job chapter 2, his wife says to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So I think, there obviously some of the ones that you also shared, there's scriptural support that blessing is not always related or connected to circumstances or prosperity. However, perspective is always part of your understanding if you're blessed. And I think we're gonna get there in just a couple minutes. All right, so Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night." So if you want to be blessed, meditate on the Word of God. If you really want to understand the magnitude of the blessings that God has for you, the circumstances sometimes stink. They powerfully stink. They have a stench, and we hate it. We don't like what's happening to us. You know, I think of Dave Ring. I think of others. I think of even my own wife, who wakes up every day and has to mount these plastic plungers over her eyes just so that she can see somewhat reasonably. If she's driving, she'll tell you that's not always a good thing. "I can't see." I'm like, okay, well, we should help you not be driving at the moment. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, around verse 11 to 13, I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. So contentment is another way of thinking about blessing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything to change our circumstances if we can improve upon them. I think if God's giving you that desire to work on something or develop something, I think you should go there. And I think scripturally speaking, if you gain the right perspective of true blessing, real blessing, it's an impetus for both the heart and the mind. Dennis, if you heard him this morning, we're playing some of these highlights on revival on Sunday nights. You come in Sunday night? Okay. You're on. But there's a powerful connection when you take scriptural truth in context and you link that to the emotion of the heart. And what that can cause, what real change can happen in terms of momentum and energy. So I just throw that out there. Is it good to count or know your blessings? Okay, give me, just throw out some blessings here. What are your blessings? Count. Tell me what they are. What? Well, give me a few. The song says to count them, though. We've got to keep track of them.
Employment.
Employment, okay.
New man group is a blessing.
New man.
Yes. Health.
Health, okay, yeah. Children. Health is great. Children. How about people who walk with Christ faithfully? What would you do without the people who don't, who decided one day, how many of us know somebody that they were so on fire at one point in their life, and now they've lost perspective?
I know some.
Yep.
I know a couple.
See, I think when we talk about counting and knowing our blessings, scripturally speaking, it takes when the circumstances can go down the toilet, and we remember and we understand how other like-minded believers in Scripture, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. So God wants us to think about the things that really belong to us, and He will empower us to think correctly if we're willing, and to keep that perspective fresh, keep that fire burning fresh. Because you should know that you're blessed. You should truly know, and more than just circumstantially. Have you ever thought about something in your life that was a blessing and you eventually despised it? Anything? Any possession? I have that one on here. Relationships sometimes can become not what you. Marriage can sometimes become this territory that people. Okay? Now we're getting it real, man. No.
You know, earlier when I said fulfillment, I really meant contentment. I think that's a better word. I meant fulfillment in the moment, because when we all look at our lives where we're at. Some of us might be on this kind of the downward side, and some of us might be on the upward side, both spiritually and physically, and yet if we have the contentment in the Lord, and we have, you know, we have our heart in the right place, it's that contentment. But it's so easy to get off of that. So it's just so,
I don't know if you,
it's a good conversation because it brings us all constructively back.
I think there's a point here, and the point is, blessing is often defined by us in ways that are not scripturally. It's not a complete perspective, and it's a lot of stuff that can change this side of heaven, that can keep our, that can rob us of vitality, rob us of being revived, and that's what we've been talking about. How does the believer stay revived? How does the believer start in Christ and end successfully? That when they, as the song says, Jesus led me all the way. See, you want to have a grand entrance in heaven. Because that's where we're heading, right? We're heading there.
I think it's Hebrews who say, you know, let's cast off the sin that entangles us and run the, you know.
Yeah.
So we can run the race.
Yeah. Gary Smalley wrote a book back in the late 80s, early 90s called The Joy That Lasts, and he took on that very four basic major areas that get people in trouble. He says, you know, if you're looking for your joy in a person, a place, a position, or possession, typically those are fleeting things. A person, a place. Maybe if I live here, I'm going to move here and I'll be happier. That could be a temptation. If I could just get over there. We could just leave Massachusetts. I had people. We know a person who was part of this church who hated Massachusetts, and they wanted to desperately leave here, and they thought that their life was going to be better somewhere else. So sometimes you can be so focused on a destination that if we just get this, if we just get this home, if we just get this position, if I just get this job. When I think back to my life coming into this church. And Beth and I will start our fifth year in January. And to think about, there was one thought that came to my mind during those days, early in those days. I don't ever want to look back and say, what if I had gone into that opportunity that it seemed like the Lord was opening up, and I didn't, because circumstantially there was some things going on that weren't the most enticing of attraction. I was saying Sunday at the service, I said, when we first came in here, every chair was mismatched. This isn't your traditional steeple building with all the trappings and a powerful salary package and all that stuff. But I said, you know what? It doesn't really matter. I just don't. If the Lord's opening up a door here, I want to walk through that door. And if He doesn't want us in this place, He can shut it. And here we are 5 years, almost 5 years later. And this last week, God allowed for this church to receive a substantial gift to buy a piece of property that we're going to be moving. So you guys put more gas in the tank. You're going 2.5 miles up the street, hopefully, in the next year or two. We don't know what the time frame is. But this church has been given 2.37 acres as a gift so that we would be able to do ministry outside of these four walls. But I think back and I say, you know, what if I had just said no? I think I deserve better. That'd just be terrible. And I wouldn't have gotten to be here. I wouldn't have gotten to know you. So it isn't always that everything has to. I've heard many people on the will of God. It all has to just line up like a radio series of radio towers. I've heard that. And if it's not all lined up, and sometimes you got to take a step out in faith and let the Lord shut the door.
What?
And you know what? And it's and I look back in some of those early days and circumstantially some of the things that had changed for us, and certainly had some reasons to be concerned of how this would all happen. You know, our family's been through just different things along the way: finances, medical issues. My son's got, you know, a batch of medical needs that are ongoing part of his life. But I've seen God's hand of faithfulness and blessing. But I also know that I can't just be so, you know, locked on the all of that. And I do like blessing. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love it. But I want to get back to what I think we need to go in these very few minutes left. How does the God of the Bible want us to view blessing?
For His glory.
For His glory. Okay.
Bristled when Obama said, "You didn't build that."
Yeah.
And I said to myself, "Well, no, God built this." You know,
I would say, how does God of the Bible want us to view blessing? He wants us to view it correctly.
Yeah.
For His glory, yeah. Clearly, but correctly. And we're going to get, and I, so some of you may know, and I put a couple of references there. Who in the Old Testament scriptures is a pattern or is a picture of promise of blessing to us right now?
I think it's Joseph. I'd spent so many years going through the ringer, and he was exactly where God wanted. It's easy. You know, and I like to think back, all right, what was Joseph thinking in the middle of all of that crap? What, you know, was he thinking, oh, great, you know, I'm right where God wants me? He may have been thinking, what the heck is going on? I love God. He had this thing for me. And in the end, it was a blessing, but in the middle, it didn't seem like it, I'm sure, to him. Or if I was there, it wouldn't have seemed like it to me that it was a blessing. But it was.
Mm-hmm.
Even in his good years, once it transpired, he probably still wasn't where he wanted. He wasn't reunited with his old goals and his old family. So even then, it probably didn't feel like it was.
So I want to read. I just want to look at a couple things here before we turn to the page. Somebody open up to Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And I want you to read that out loud, please. And I want someone else to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And someone else to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Who wants to take Galatians 3:16?
Chris, okay. Ed Milanowski, will you take Galatians 3:29? Donnie, do you have Genesis 1, 1 to 3, 12, 1, 1 to 3?
Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. 1 to 3.
Yeah. Please.
The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you."
Okay. Thank you. Galatians 3:16.
Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to his offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ.
Okay. And Ed Milanowski?
And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and he is according to the promise.
All right. Way, way back, God makes a declaration that would forever change the identity of every human being who would trust God's appointed Messiah, Jesus Christ, based upon this promise. All the blessings that truly belong to us are based on that promise. They are spiritual blessings. They are deep. They are profound. They are who truly identifies what God uses to identify our true status before Him. It goes back to Genesis chapter 12. Paul reiterates that in pretty much the entire chapter 3 of Galatians regarding Abraham. And that the promise given to Abraham directly connects to Jesus Christ, who, because of Jesus Christ, is the only reason that you can confidently say this morning, "I am blessed." It's because of Jesus Christ in your life. If he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yes?
I was reading something in my quiet time this week, and it touched on Noah, and he built the ark and everything, but he wasn't a carpenter, he was a farmer. And yet God came to him, and he could have just totally blew God off. I'm not a carpenter.
Sure.
I'm a farmer. But yet, he still went, when God gives him a direction, he went that way.
Uh-huh.
I think that was a blessing in itself, too. No one, I thought that was kind of...
It's a good example, yep.
He was blessed in the end, but he could have just said, "Nah, I'm not doing this."
Right.
This was a big, he had to build an ark. He had to round up all the animals.
Right.
There was a lot that went into this. Probably, I don't know how many years it took him to do all that. But
sure. It was a long time, 120, right?
Yeah.
So, let's go. You can now legally turn the paper over. So without Genesis chapter 12, you and I, we don't have really anything to boast about real blessing but God. And you and I are the privileged recipients of that promise, that we now have the right to be called the children of God because of Jesus. And Paul and Peter... And I mentioned last week, I was taken in by the letter of 2 Peter. I'm very taken in. I'm just amazed at the insight that Peter brings. We had played a short video, and I'm not going to play it today. We don't have time for it. Just a short little video of a dialogue between Peter and Jesus on Sunday, done by the skit guys. And yet... to kind of imagine yourself back in that spot where Peter, having probably some of the darkest moments of his life ever, were following what had happened. He stresses, "I will not deny you." Jesus says exactly how it will happen, and then it comes to pass just as Jesus said. And Peter's dealing with the guilt of that. And John chapter 21 is that conversation where you see Jesus now interacting with Peter in a very intimate way. And yet you see how Peter has gone on to be quite masterful in the way that God used his, I think that circumstantially, I think God built things into Peter. Obviously the Spirit of God directs Peter to write these things as well. That's the second bigger chunk of scripture on the page here. But I'd like to read this. This is what Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. That is a picture of true blessing. Everything else pales in comparison. And if we start to appreciate the deposit that the Lord Jesus Christ says belongs to us, our affection for him can only increase. Because circumstances is no master for it. We shouldn't let it be the master. And I said this Sunday, if God, for whatever reason, allows, and that's not what I want, but if for some reason we never get out of this building, but we still get to see and serve Jesus Christ in this property, praise him. It's not about that. Although those things can encourage our hearts, and we get excited about things that might develop and all that. But the reality is this, that we want to appreciate the clarified word of God's just amazing promise that belongs to us because of Jesus. And if you, I mean, just think about what Paul says here. And I just want to, you've heard the word eulogy, right? The word blessed and blessing have that as the Greek word is like I wrote it down here, eulogiotis or eulogy. It means blessed, bestowed. You think about what's being said at a eulogy. It's usually talking about how good the person was. They're so nice, you know. But they're bestowing blessing. They're remembering the life. But the blessing that we received in Christ is so substantial that most of us, if we don't appreciate what the Word of God teaches us, we will miss this. And what happens is we, although make it to heaven, because we got there only because of Jesus Christ, we will have missed opportunities to serve God because we fail to see the richness of the blessings that were given to us in Jesus. And Paul's saying that this happened because of what God promised through Abraham, that he's going to bring Messiah through Abraham. God knew this before the foundation of the world, and that anyone who trusts Jesus Christ is going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. I was saying to my wife, she was telling me that she's been witnessing to two ladies up at Karate Mike's. Karate Mike, who is... Sensei Mike. And so she was sitting at the table last night, and she says, God just threw her a softball. And she was witnessing to two of the moms there, and how she just like... She's like, it was so amazing. She goes, you know, I keep trying to like, you know, thinking about maybe is the right approach to corner people. She says, isn't it awesome when God opens the door and then you just feel like, I'm in this door. I'm going to go right through it. And I said, you know, isn't it interesting as you're witnessing to these two ladies, let's just imagine for a moment the rapture occurs next Monday. Let's just imagine, just for a second, next Monday, and I'm not date-setting, pastor is not date-setting the rapture, I'm not saying that. But the truth of the matter is, let's just say the rapture happens next Monday. And karate's Tuesday. Aaron's not there. Beth isn't there. Amanda's not there. Can you imagine what people start to think about? All of a sudden, people in their lives are no longer around. Somebody said an estimated about 20 million people will probably be raptured when the rapture happens. See, this is what we're thinking about. We're thinking about, as you are motivated to share Christ, you're thinking about the rapture, as Paul says, could happen. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. Isn't that amazing? He's the spokesperson for the Christian family. He's speaking among, and I want to show you a couple things about the complementary teaching of both Peter and Paul. But I just wanted to underscore here that He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is where Christ is seated, and we are seated with Him in those heavenly places. We are presently with Him. He's in us. The Bible says that, you know, the greater is He who is in us than He's in this world. And that our identity, our true identity, is in this perfect person. Is this an amen? Amen. So, you might want to compare these two. And these are sort of launch blessings for the church at Ephesus. This is also a set of launch blessings from Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter. Look at the distinction here. Grace to you and peace from... Oh, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith. The word precious is a signature to Peter's teaching. He uses it about faith. He uses it about Jesus. He uses it about the blood. So you'll see that word precious. Peter uses this wonderful word precious. Your precious faith. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior. He's calling Jesus Christ God right here. Our God and Savior. Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied. Do you think about this blessing that God wants us to enjoy? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. As you gain the knowledge of God in your life, all of our material blessings that we have, and it can, you know, Paul says He's given us everything to enjoy, right? Richly enjoy. I like material blessings. But the real blessings that are in my life came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Simon Peter, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as His divine power. His divine power. You know what the word power is translated? It's called dunamis. It's dynamite. This is divine power. And this power comes from the Godhead Himself. Has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God hasn't left you and I in a spot to have to live in continual regret and failure. He wants us to jump in to the knowledge that belongs to us. And it doesn't happen without knowledge. You can pray all day long for blessing. Lord, bless my life. Bless my life. Well, the blessings really are in the Word of God that God wants you to lay your mind on and then let that instruct your heart about truly serving the Lord. You want to serve God intelligently. And His divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. This is God's calling. He's conforming each of us into the image of Jesus Christ. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you see yourself as a new creation, as a new man? Or are you just thinking, I'm sometimes feeling new and I'm sometimes feeling old? Paul says, reckon yourself. In other words, you count on it. You call yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. You just go with it. This is why the believer has to trust that God says the record is by God. And for us to trust the record of the Almighty, and He says that you and I do very well to take God at His word. If He calls you righteous on the basis of what He did in Jesus Christ, you go with it. Doesn't mean that you don't have issues. Yes, sir.
This is where we trust what God says rather than trust how we feel.
Exactly. And feelings can be a very compelling master. Yesterday here with the ladies, a lady just plowed into me and started crying because she says, I am a mistake. I was told my whole life that I was a mistake. And so this person is living with this horrible, and now she's a relatively new Christian, so she may not have, but she's like, what I was taught in my life, even religiously, doesn't compare to what I'm being taught in this church. So but see, a lot of us let the past lies, past regrets, and they somehow think, I'm not worthy of the blessings of God. Of course not. Can you just get over that? You're not worthy. You're not worthy. God makes you worthy because of Jesus. At the same time, we don't want to quench the Spirit's work in our life. We can feed the flesh, and we can rob ourselves of blessings. The flesh is still very much alive in our personal experience. But I think that's why the knowledge that God wants to give us is it helps us to overcome, because we're now energized to see the things that God wants us to truly know. And he says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Peter uses that word again, precious promises. Your precious faith, the precious blood, our precious Savior. See, Peter gets it. He gets it. And now he's fighting throughout this letter to overcome error and false teaching that corrupts people's minds and says, if you aren't blessed and you're not saved, you know, and all these things. And if you don't do this, you're not saved. And we know the condition that to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I want to show you just a little thing here and we're going to wrap up. This is back in the book of Galatians. And you realize here, both Peter and Paul, and I think in these two portions of Scripture, and the ones that are at the top, are kind of equally celebrating what the believer has. Paul's saying you've got every spiritual blessing. Peter says things like his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So they're both in a mode of declaration and celebration. And in Galatians chapters 2, verse 7, Peter's speaking about those who have come into the church and are trying to corrupt this gospel of purity, and they're trying to bring the Galatians back under the law. And, you know, just, you got to get back into this whole Old Testament system. If you're really a Christian, you will obey the law perfectly, and you'll get circumcised and do all this stuff. But Peter says here, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm committed to reaching the Gentile world. The message that God's given to me is to help people who were not previously under that Old Testament system. I'm tasked to communicate divine truth to this audience. And this is his audience, a Gentile audience. Although this guy's steeped in Judaism, you'd think, why isn't he going to the Jews? He knows isn't it amazing how good God is, that God used Paul, who understood the law and the whole system, to deal with how that doesn't square with the gospel, in the sense that you can't use the law to back and put the Christian back under that. If anything, Paul's gifted to communicate by the Holy Spirit about this, but used his life and his circumstances, as we've heard this morning. Some of you feel like, I don't know what the purpose of my life is. Now you're starting to see that. But he says here, for he who worked effectively in Peter, Paul saying this, for the apostleship to the circumcised, the Jewish community, the Jewish audience, also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. This is a division of labor. And most of the letters that Paul wrote is to a Gentile audience. That is, you could argue that Hebrews, which author is not mentioned, many believe it has stylistic tendencies, and Paul certainly had a heart for the Hebrews. He called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews. And perhaps if he had named himself, because it's unnamed, but most of the first three centuries held Paul as the author of the book of Hebrews. And then let's go on here. So at the end of Peter's second letter, he says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, the Lord has not returned for one reason. He's long-suffering, and he doesn't want people unsaved. Now, the rapture is an event that God knows and when it will happen, but ultimately, we see the heart of God here. And also, Paul Peter says here, and our beloved. See, Paul and Peter, they had different audiences, but they didn't have different gospels. And as also our beloved brother Paul, see, he's calling. And if you notice in Galatians chapter 2, Paul confronts Peter to his face about withdrawing from the Gentiles. Because you can see what happens. I mean, so, and Paul even talked about, I was one untimely born. In other words, I wasn't with the original group. They didn't know me and I didn't know them. But I got this message from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just go on. He says, and also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are future things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Peter understood what Paul taught. Paul understood what Peter taught. They're in sync, they're in harmony, they're not different. So you can see two perspectives here. And when I was looking back on Paul's grand opening to Ephesians and Peter's grand opening in the letter of 2 Peter, they're both celebrating what the blessings that belong to the believer and how those resources. Peter actually goes so far to say, if you keep developing in this, he goes on in those the next, like, around verse 5, it will keep you becoming myopic and only seeing the up close and the personal. Circumstances changed, I must be in trouble. You know, sometimes that can happen to a believer. You want to keep moving in development, mentally, spiritually speaking, that you'd appreciate the blessings. Are you blessed today?
Yes.
Are you blessed because of who?
Jesus.
You are blessed. I am blessed because of Jesus Christ. On His word, on these promises, they belong to me. I pray the same for you, my brothers. Can we pray together?